And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors."
Morning. Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. Come all ye faithful. Familiar words to many of us at Christmas. A few years ago, some followers of Jesus wrote a new song for Christmas. And this is how it goes. O come, all you unfaithful. Come, weak and unstable. Come, know you are not alone. O come, barren and waiting ones. Weary of praying, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. O come, bitter and broken. Come, with fears unspoken. Come. Taste of his perfect love. O come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born for you. So come, though you have nothing, come. He is the offering. Come, see what your God has done. Christ is born for you. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus already this morning, you might hear those words and think, oh, that's beautiful, lovely. But if you're not a follower of Jesus yet this morning, it's great that you're here. You might hear those words and think, well, that's nuts. The unfaithful, the weak, the unstable, the weary, the bitter and broken, Christ is born for you? Really? If I was to ask you, why was Jesus born? Or who was Jesus born for? I wonder what you and I might say to that question. Well, in the bit of the Bible that we just read in the book of Luke, we're shown that Mary has an answer to that question. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has an answer to that question. So already in Luke's account, an angel, a messenger from God, has appeared in front of her. Imagine that, with a message that even though she's a virgin, there's already a little embryo inside her. She's going to have a baby, and the baby will be called Son of the Most High. He will reign on the throne forever. There will be no end to his kingdom. He will be the Son of God, Mary's told. So Mary goes to see her cousin, Elizabeth, and hears that an angel has appeared to her as well. And her cousin, Elizabeth, is an elderly lady, and she's pregnant too, for the first time. Have you ever wondered what it was like for Mary? Have you ever wondered what she said or what she felt about the whole thing? Well, Luke, who wrote this historical account in the Bible, records Mary's words for us. And her response to this news from the angel is to burst into song. Thank you, Emma, for reading it for us a moment ago. Should have asked you to sing it. Verse 46, and Mary said, sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary is filled with joy. She's so happy. And it's a sort of a, she's happy deep in her bones, in her very soul, her very spirit, her inmost being. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She's rejoicing and glorifying God for what she's heard. Because instead of descending in fire and thunder and lightning and the blast of the trumpet for everyone to see, God chooses to reveal himself, to step into our world, chooses the womb of a young girl. From a town that no one had heard of, basically. He gives her, Mary, the privilege and the honor of carrying and giving birth to the Son of God. Mary herself says that he has been mindful of her humble estate. Her humble state, sorry, verse 48. She doesn't feel impressive or important. But God has chosen her. So she praises and worships him. Mary gets it. But Mary also understands that it's not just good news for her, but actually it's good news for everyone like her. She carries on singing from verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thought. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So Mary understands here that what God has done is actually entirely in keeping with how he operates. This is what God does. God's mercy, God's attention, God's interest actually isn't in the impressive people or the people who have it all together. Those who are self-confident, those who are proud of their achievements and their accomplishments, those who have accumulated wealth and prestige and can go anywhere they want, buy anything they want, do anything they want, those who have reached positions of power and influence and status in this world, God's not interested in that. After all, he's God. He's the King of Kings. It doesn't matter to God. Paul, a follower of Jesus in the Bible, was a seriously impressive guy. He had an incredible CV, brilliant references. He was basically guaranteed an interview wherever he applied. But when Paul started following Jesus, he basically says this in the book of Philippians in the Bible. Whatever was to my credit, whatever made me look impressive, whatever I thought was actually worth something, well, it's meaningless now. It's worthless now. Compared to knowing Jesus, it's worth nothing. It's rubbish. Jesus is that amazing, so impressive, so wonderful, that I have nothing to boast about, nothing to be proud about. In fact, his goodness, Jesus' goodness, doesn't just highlight how unimpressive I am, but it also emphasizes how unworthy I am. But did you see what Mary said, what Mary sang? Those who are humble, lowly, unimpressive, those who aren't confident in themselves or their own achievements, those who have regrets. As the song that I quoted earlier says, the unfaithful, the weak, the unstable, the barren, the waiting, the weary, the bitter, the broken, the fearful, the guilty and the hiding, those who have nothing, Christ is born for them. If that describes you this morning, Christ was born for you. If it does describe you this morning, know this, that Jesus isn't for religious people or for impressive people. Jesus is for ordinary, normal people, carrying scars, carrying burdens, carrying fears. Jesus came for us to know the love of our Father God. Jesus was born so that because of God's immense love for us, for you this morning, if we humbly come to him and say, Jesus, I have nothing to offer. Jesus, take me as I am. I need you. He'll throw his arms around us and we can be given a new name, forgiven, loved, special, cherished child of God. We can know the safety and the comfort and the assurance, the security, the deep joy of knowing that you are a precious child of God and that his immeasurable love for you will never diminish and will never be taken away. And so because of this, Mary's joy can be our joy. Mary sang, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And it's why we sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Shall we sing together? When the music starts, why don't we stand and sing?